There's an amazing offer on a website. And because I really so wanted this, this was so cheap and so easy to get. When I checked the website out, there were some little amber lights flashing on my dashboard, like there was no physical address and there was no landline phone number, just a mobile number. And as soon as you see things like that, you think, hang on, you know, if something goes wrong, you can't get back to them. In my eagerness and enthusiasm for what I wanted and, you know, rushed in there, and sure enough, the product never came. I'd paid for it on credit card, and it never came despite pinging back emails and doing this. There was only an email point of contact, no landlines, nothing like that. And sure enough, it was a scam, wasn't it? And it was 70 or 80 quid, whatever it was. But I got the money recovered because it was sanctioned, or the credit card company is very good, so I didn't lose anything. But that's a typical example of how a scam works. We're our own worst enemies, where we so want something, we desire something, and that desire, you know, sort of we unscrew the flashing amber lights on the dashboard sometimes because we're taken over by our own ambition or something like that. So, I mean, that can come to anybody, can't it? So if that releases a few testimonies of lessons learned, then so be it. But it can happen easily, can't it? Or it can happen too in relationships where tragically you hear these awful stories in the news of somebody gets married and a guy turns up being violent or something happens and all sorts of stuff. And afterwards, sometimes talking with these folks, you can... In fact, I've actually, yeah, a long time ago, a particular lady I talked to, she said, the night before we got married, I knew it was wrong. Something had happened. But because she was stuck in this channel of expectation and all the arrangements, she went ahead and didn't listen to that inner voice. You know, sometimes the inner voice can be oversensitive, but in this case, it was clearly the right thing that the Lord is flashing up. But because of the desire, and because of this, and because of that, came to grief. And praise the Lord, he's redeemed that, because he's a great redeemer, isn't he? And lessons are learned, so he's very gracious. And there's other things too. Sometime, was it, who remembers May the 21st was a day and a half, wasn't it? It was Carol Camping. Do you remember that guy in America who owns X numbers of TV stations? End of the world, 21st of May. I was in Israel at the time, in Nazareth, and there's a big hoarding up on one building saying the end of the world is going to be on the 21st of May. So he had a global exposure because of his resources. When the folks there asked me about it, I said, well, it's probably wrong because nobody knows the day, but just in case it's right, let's make sure we're ready. See, so you can always work these things out for good. But he was terribly wrong, wasn't he? See, and he then was saying, well, the Lord came invisibly in 1990 or something like that. Now, if you know your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, Paul says, let no one deceive you by saying that the day of the Lord's come already. It won't come until the man of lawlessness is revealed. See? So, Jehovah's Witnesses do that as well. They predicted about five or six times last century about the Lord's coming, 1918, or it didn't happen. Then it happened invisibly in 1950, all these sorts of things. And as soon as you hear that sort of stuff, you think, yeah, well... So we need to be aware and alert to these things and not be judgmental on people, but just have the radar switched on and show grace and love, but no thank you to whatever it is. And you don't fall for it. Sometimes we can fall for it because of ignorance, but that's why we need to be in fellowship together. Because 20 sets of eyes and ears are better than just one. And we need fellowship because sometimes we're too busy to catch things and so on. Then there's another one turned up in the post. This is dropped through. How many of you get leaflets through the letterbox? How many of you fill your blue bin with them? Yeah, okay, all right. Got this one. Did you get one of these, anybody?
Yes.
All right, you read that?
Yes.
Got it around our way? Who didn't get one? I'm not giving you one. But it's Islamic, all right? And talking about the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, this guy reckons he claimed under divine guidance to be the promised Messiah and the Imam Mahdi, which is the Islamic Saviour, Messiah, the advent of whom was waiting in this age. And this guy was around in 1889. Okay? So that's an Islamic Messiah who was around a couple of centuries ago. And there we are, false Christ. Okay? The Baha'i Faith, the guy who started that off, it comes from an Islamic strand. As well, he claimed to be the manifestation of God, the Baha'i Babula or something like that. But obviously, as we know our Bibles, that can't be right. Read too this week that in the past 2 millennia, there have been hundreds of false Jewish messiahs as well in the Jewish communities. There's some New York rabbi who died a few years ago being... And there are Jewish people evangelizing in his name in Israel today. So there's all sorts of things going on. We need to have the radar switched on. And then you get things like organizations we need to be aware of. Say, like the Jehovah's Witnesses will say, if you belong to our organization, you're in the kingdom of God and under God's government. You think, wow, that's incredible, isn't it? Because... And I think, I believe the Catholic Church at heart believes that you've got to belong to the Catholic Church. If you belong to the institution, that's where salvation is. So salvation is in relationship with an institution and not Jesus. See, I thought the kingdom of God comes when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. He is our Messiah. And any organization that says you come under the governance of God if you belong to our organization, you've got to think, well, hang on a minute, I'm not so sure that's right. Because it's relational with Jesus. Okay. So, there's a lot of things we need to help each other out on, and sort of, without, we've got to be careful that we don't have a superior attitude in this. Because that can happen as well. Oh, we're the ones who spot all the dodgy ones. Because as soon as you've got that, you've got pride that is then vulnerable to deception. Okay? It's quite interesting. I was reading this quote from Derek Prince. Pride is the primary door through which deception takes hold of our lives and misleads us. A selfish ambition. You know, something promises power or super Christianity or something like this. And you think, well, actually, you know, you've got to just listen to the warning things and be careful. And Derek Prince says, we must avoid anyone who promises that we will become super Christians by joining a group or movement, for surely they appeal to our pride and reject the teachings of Jesus. Now, there's times too in my own life you recognize, yeah, you can have something appeals to your pride, or this will make me stronger, this will make me more powerful, this will extend my ministry, or whatever it is. And because of that pride, you think you can get deceived into situations that really the Lord's not in. But we learn from it usually afterwards, okay? And praise God, He redeems, okay? So there's lots of things we can learn, but if we can turn to Joshua 9 now and just have a look at this here. Israelites had crossed into the Promised Land and were gaining ground. And when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Great Sea as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and mouldy. And then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country, make a treaty with us." But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you?" "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you, and where do you come from?" So far, so good. They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we've heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you, but now see how dry and moldy it is. And these wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are. And our clothes and our sandals are worn out by the very long journey. Let's read verse 14 together. The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. All right. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days later, after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites then set out to destroy them, but because of the promise and they'd made with them a treaty, verse 21, the leaders said, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for the entire community. So the leader's promise to them was kept. Okay? Where did it go wrong? What was the big amber light or whatever is a big flashlight going there? They didn't inquire of the Lord. We're going to have a little chat here, okay? Why not? Why do you think they didn't inquire of the Lord? Okay, flattery, yeah. We think you're great, we want to be part of you. All right? Prideful was a word you used as well. Anybody else? This is a conversational type of preach. Outward appearance, right? Yes, they thought they could handle it on their own and didn't think they needed to ask God. What is that? Pride. They relied on their own insight and experience and things. Easy. Laziness. To actually seek the Lord and ask him, what do you have to do? Take time. You have to stop. Right, they made assumptions, yes. Okay, that's interesting. They said they'd come from a long way away. It was a bit vague, you know. It's the pride, wasn't it, really? They thought we don't need to ask the Lord. And actually to stop and seek the Lord's mind and heart on something can be quite hard to do because you need time and sensitivity. Okay? So how do we get the Lord's mind on something? Through prayer, that generates sensitivity. Sorry? Inquire of the Lord. How does he speak to us? All right. God is the God of truth, isn't he? So he's the God of the Amen. Amen is Hebrew for truth. Jesus is the truth. So we've got to find a way of measuring things to see if it's authentic. Is Jesus in it? Is Jesus at the center? The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus, doesn't he? Is it Jesus-centered or man-centered? And we need to rise above a sentimental theology that thinks all religions are the same and point to God and stick to what the Word of God says. This is our real glasses, spiritual glasses, night vision glasses. Jesus said, didn't he, your word is truth. Let's just look at these references. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed, Father, your word is truth. And in 1 John 5, 6, John says the Holy Spirit is truth. So you're going to have three clear things you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. Is Jesus in this? Is he being glorified? Is it true to Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, King of Kings, raised from the dead on the third day? Jesus Christ is Lord is a key test of the spirits. If you can't say that, then you've got a problem. It talks about the deity of Christ. Second thing is the word of God must be true to the scriptures. So we need to know them. And there must be a good positive witness of the Holy Spirit in us. The hard thing about, but the good thing about stopping to hear the Lord is you can only get it if you're in a face-to-face relationship with him. If you've been grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit or resisting the Holy Spirit, how can we ever know the Holy Spirit leading us into all truth? You know, so often it starts with repentance, doesn't it? If we've been insensitive. So to get guidance, it's not just coming to God as an answer machine, because it's relational. The kingdom of God is relational. Jesus is the, he is that entry and life point. The kingdom is the king. Sometimes I know it's easier to do other things than to stop and look and listen to the Lord. Try and get answers off books or other things off the shelf, but it needs a one-to-one, doesn't it? So the most important thing to cultivate is our relationship with Jesus. Otherwise we'll miss it. I know you can be so busy doing good things that you can miss the little warnings that the Holy Spirit is prompting you with. You can miss it. Okay? So we need to build in time to be sensitive. Hope you'll agree with that. It's easier to agree with than do. Okay. But we say, Lord, teach us, help us to be sensitive to your word, sensitive to you and the witness of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, the other mistake they made is that they relied for their information solely on those involved in the deception. Think about that. They relied for their information solely on those involved in the deception. That's interesting, isn't it? So we need to be wised up on this and check things out and just make sure that we're being true to the Lord. Okay? So I think I agree with this writer who said that the biggest thing we're deceived by is our pride. They were proud here, weren't they? We don't need to inquire of the Lord. I think it's interesting, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians that it's because they refused to love the truth that they were deceived. If the truth, Jesus' truth, the Word of God, Spirit of truth, if we don't love the truth above all, we're vulnerable to being deceived by our own passions, our human nature, and you're vulnerable then to scams, which can take all sorts of shapes and forms, as we've already said, religious ones too. So it's a case of being wised up. And it's very important, too, to be in fellowship with each other. Because if you're isolated, we're more vulnerable. And it's good just to be in touch with folks and prayerful and aware.
Oh, they are.
They're people.
They're lovely.
We've got to love people. And by the grace of God, just keep on loving them as opportunities come. Share the truth of the word. You know, it's very powerful. The word is a great, very powerful, isn't it? So we love people and trust the Lord to give us access whereby we can bring truth and light in. That's it. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for opportunities to share Jesus. But we need to be online ourselves, don't we, really? And a bit wised up on things and ready. All of these things. Okay? Just thinking of the situation with the Gibeonites. Where they were deceived, they ended up with a compromise, didn't they? And that was the problem. And it ended up with the Gibeonites taking a very low servant role in society. They ended up being the woodcutters and the water carriers. You know, the heavy duty stuff like that. And there's something in that made me think, anyway, that where there's a compromise, the opportunity to show the glory of Jesus in humility and having a servant heart was taken away and given to other people. That's interesting, isn't it? That was the outcome of compromise. Something of that aspect of revealing Jesus. Gracious, humble, gentle, obedient servant was missed. There's a thought. So help us, Lord. Keep us true to you, to your word, and gracious to people as well. Amen. All right. Okay. Well, I hope you found that helpful.